we are returning today. I mean, just think about that. We just clapped, and I hope we didn't clap for the performance. I hope we clapped for the truth that was in it, that he has never failed us yet. Whatever you're going through, whatever challenge you face, he will not fail you if you turn to him, and I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to do so. Well, hey, we find ourselves today back in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 7, it is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking to people. He's sitting there. If you remember that in the beginning of this, we've been going through this verse by verse or section of verses based on the context of which Jesus is speaking and been going through and looking at these truths. Man, this is packed. But remember, it started where Jesus, he saw all the people. He saw all the people, and what does he do? He sits there focused on his disciples, but I imagine there are others with him. And we know there was the 12 that he called, but there was also many more that were following him. And so he's sitting on this hillside, and there's many people listening. Jesus sees the needs of the people, and what does he do? He begins making disciples. He begins to implement the Great Commission that he would give us from this point roughly 3 years later. And so the same truth for us, that we can look out and we can see the needs of this earth, the needs of the people in our own neighborhoods, in our own workplaces, in our own homes, and we see those needs and what Jesus does here, just sit down and begin making disciples, teaching them about the Word of God. It still works today. But today we're going to be in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. We're going to pray, and then we're going to read, and we're going to read the Word of God. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we're thankful for your Word. Lord, as we read it, I pray that you would open up our minds, our eyes, and our hearts, and our ears. I pray, Lord, you'd help us set aside all those things that we're thinking about, that we're worrying about, that we're planning, all the things that are in our life, and then these next few minutes, Lord, help us heed this warning that Jesus gives us in this Word, in your Word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here Jesus, he starts off by saying, beware of false prophets. And I'm going to stop there for just a minute. And I want to make a difference between false prophets and falsely teaching. And so there are some that we're going to see here he's going to describe that intentionally are they're worldly, they're out, they're setting out to deceive. For whatever reason, usually the enemy, the flesh has gotten involved. But then there are times where maybe you've seen this, maybe it's a Sunday school teacher, maybe it's a pastor somewhere that has misspoke. And they have taught falsely or said something that was not quite correct. And so this is not about teaching falsely. I have made or misspoke things, and a leader ought to, when he or she, be in a Sunday school class, should speak about something falsely. Whenever they see where they misspoke, then they come back and say, hey, whenever I said this, and I meant it like this, but I said it like this, and it came out sounding something other than was correct. Or, hey, so-and-so came and approached me and showed me this scripture, and I was wrong in the way I said that. It's called humility, and the Holy Spirit works through that. But so we're not talking about false, about making a mistake, as all men will make mistakes. But here we're talking about something intentional, something that's evil, something that's deceptive. But beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from the bushes, nor figs from the thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will be know them by their fruits. All right, all through this passage, tons of metaphors, and where we see that the word sheep, we know sheep are the people, the followers of God. They are Christians, people who have come to faith, and Christ often uses the metaphor the picture of he is the shepherd. We know God to be the great shepherd. One of the passages, Psalm 23, where many of us are very familiar with, where it talks about he is our good shepherd, that he leads us, he guides us. And so God in Christ here, it refers to himself often as the shepherd, and we are his sheep. And so that's what he's talking about here. And then we see the metaphor of the false prophet being one of a ravenous wolf. And then we see the metaphor also of the fruits, of grapes and thorns. Things are totally opposite. You don't find those things. It says, grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles. No, that everything produces a fruit. But he's talking about deeds. You'll know them by their actions. And so in the midst of this warning, and like I said, just tons of metaphors, if that just didn't seem make sense to you in there. And we're going to walk through that, and then we're going to show what we do with it. But here, there's a warning. Christ has given a warning, and we see this warning several places throughout the whole Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New, where beware of false prophets. And he gives us this metaphor again that they are disguised. They look and they sound like people of faith, but inwardly they are like ravenous wolves. I'm sure we've seen somewhere, whether it be in school, whether it be on National Geographic, where we've seen a predator on a hunt. Where a predator usually just doesn't come and just run in and mess up the whole crowd. I mean, eventually they do, but usually there's a camouflage. There is a slow movement. There is the slow stalk where they're going in there and trying not to spook the prey, where they can get just as close to them and they can make the attack. This ravenous wolf here, these people, they come in not saying, hey, God is this and we don't need Jesus. And they're not saying falsehoods, but they are coming in like sheep. They're disguised. And they're bringing in, maybe you've heard the saying before, it takes a lot of truth to float a lie. Have you ever heard that before? But think about that. There's a lot of half truths. There are things. It sounds right. It kind of looks right. But some just isn't. It just isn't clicking. And this is what we're talking about. They're inwardly like wolves. The word falser means pseudo. And we know anything that we would go buy or find on the internet today that is pseudo. It looks like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. There are people who pretend to speak truth, but in reality, they are phony. They are phony. They master the art of, listen to this, misimpressionism. And they utter falsehoods in God's name. They're false prophets. So how do we know them? It shows them here, again, with metaphors of that you'll know them by their fruit. And again, deeds, actions, and not only deeds and actions, but we find also what are the results? What are the results? How are they living? What are they doing? And what are the results of these trees? We may be able to go into the forest. This last week, there was a gentleman that was given foraging lessons and walking people through and teaching them how they can eat, what they could eat, and how they could live off the land. And often we can't identify. If I was to put before you, now Larry could do this, and some of you could do this, but if I put a peach tree and a blueberry bush and an apple tree before you, some of you may not be able to identify which one is which by its leaves and by its bark. But let that thing produce fruit, you're going to know it. Oh, that's an apple. That's a blueberry. That is, I forgot the other tree, oh, peach. And so again, we may not identify the plant, but we can identify the fruit. You will know them by their fruit. Good fruit is what he's talking about. Those who are good in nature, that which originates from God, that which is empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that which glorifies Christ through faith. And so again, that's the whole key. Glorifies Christ. It's got to point to Christ. If it's empowered by the Holy Spirit, we know that the Holy Spirit, again, let's just review this. God, sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit. And Christ says the Holy Spirit will glorify him, for he glorifies the Father. And the Holy Spirit will say what Christ, and I'm paraphrasing this, you can find this in Scripture. I encourage you to do so. And where John 14, John 16, read 15 because it's awesome. But it talks about where the Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us and speak to us in the way that he speaks to us. And we know that Christ speaks to us in whatever the Father tells him to. So it all glorifies God. It all points to Jesus Christ, because our relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. And so that's the key there. Empowered by the Spirit glorifies God through Christ. That is the fruit. And the future of good fruit is that there is more fruit. We are to be a people who are productive. And what is it producing? It is producing these good things. It's producing things of the Holy Spirit. Producing love. Producing joy. Faith. Goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. I missed one in there. I felt it. And I was like, oh, no. But you know what I'm talking about. It produces things that we find in the Word of God. But bad fruit. What do we know about bad fruit? Even if you don't know, you don't know your different types of fruit. If I brought some kind of tropical fruit from a foreign land that you've never seen before, you could tell between a good fruit and a bad fruit. What's a bad fruit? A bad fruit that would be rotten. It would be mushy. It would be worthless. It would be unfit. It'd be nasty. In the same way, what he's talking about when it comes to character, that which is depraved, that which is corrupt. Oftentimes, you don't know if a fruit's good or bad until you open it. You've ever opened up a fruit and you're like, ooh, look good on the outside, but on the inside, this thing is not right. I didn't say ripe. I said not right. It's bad. It's nasty. Again, what's the future here? The future is that it's going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. Oh, what are some bad fruit that we find in the church today? I was going to write this list, but I thought, you know what? Just print this page. Some things that we can see today. First could be that of legalism, where a gospel, or where they come, and the gospel it stresses the works and the effort of man to do enough good to save his soul. Friend, there's not enough that you can do. There's not enough. You cannot pay your sin debt. Only Jesus Christ can pay your sin debt, and our role is to surrender and to submit to him. There is no other gospel to that. And as I said before, our relationship with God is through Jesus Christ and our faith and our confession of him. Now, what about this works? Now, after that, when we come to a place of faith, we know that we're given a spiritual gift, and then we exercise those things, and there are works that are produced from it, but our works do not produce salvation. But our works do come out of our salvation and the filling of our Holy Spirit. There is a gospel too that stresses grace and faith but minimizes behavior. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, Jesus loves us. We have grace. You know, as long as you have faith, do whatever you want to do. No. We are expected to be holy. He says, for I am holy, or you are to be holy, for I am holy. And there's other scripture that we've looked at multiple times. There is no there's no way that we can wrestle with that. The gospel is clear. The scripture is clear. What does Paul say in Romans 6, 1 and 2? Write that down. We're not going to turn there. But it's in that Romans 6, 1 and 2. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. He says, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Now we know we struggle and we stumble, but that whole concept of living in sin and practicing sin when we know it's wrong, we can't do it. We can't say, I can do that. I can do all those things because grace will cover me. No, because of God's grace, it should lead us to a place of submission. And when we fall and we stumble, we say, oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. And we come to that place of confession and fellowship with him. There's also a gospel that primarily stresses negativism. And it gives us regulations to control every act of our behavior. It's stifling. And we see first part of Colossians 2:21, It says, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on, listen to this, on human commands and teachings. A lot of our traditions, a lot of the conflict that we see in the church, not this church, if you're a guest with us today, things are great. But we've heard stories, things that often that churches are divided on have nothing to do with the God's word. Has to do with rules and things and traditions that have been put in place. Well, this is the way it's always been done. Well, guess what, friends? The always been done may not align up with Scripture. Maybe the way it was always done worked in a certain place or in a certain time period, and things have progressed. But if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, friend, it's not worth arguing over. Oh, the rules. Some things that stresses physical and mental health in spiritual terms. Oh, we can do that. Totally miss the spiritual connection of God, but we sure are trying to, you know, do different things to help us physically and mentally, and we totally miss the Spirit of God. These are things that, in a way, as we listen to them, they say, well, that's not so bad, but it totally misses Jesus Christ, so it's deceptive. We're going to look at, not next week, but the week after, where it says, Lord, Lord. And he says, I know you not. Why? Because we held on to so many other things, and we totally miss Jesus Christ in the midst of it. There's others that'll false teachings that stresses formalism and ritual and ceremonies. And we don't need to list any of things. Listen to this. This comes out of Romans 10:3. It says, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. This feels religious. This looks religious. It is very formal, very ritual, but it has absolutely nothing to do with God's righteousness. Again, it misses Jesus Christ. Or as we read in 2 Timothy 3:5, hopefully you're writing these down. If you want them, I'll give them to you at the end of the service. It says, having a form of godliness, denying its what? Its power. Have nothing. The scripture says, have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. Again, a form of godliness. Hey, something seems to be clicking with that, but not so much. A gospel that stresses separationism, kind of like, I guess a monk, you know, where hey, we're just supposed to come in and we get behind these four walls of the church and let's protect. No, nowhere do we see in Scripture we are supposed to be come and gather in. We see it. So Scripture says, "Don't forsake that." But we see Jesus talking about go, make these connections. And he prays in John 17:15. He says, "It's not my prayer that you take them." He's praying for disciples, his current disciples and future disciples with us. And he says, "It is not my prayer that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." Why does he want us out of the world? Because there's work to do. There's work to do. There is testimonies to share. There is love to give. I tell you, last week, and I'm going to just share this with you. It's kind of an aside. Last week, or the week before, man, the youth were going all out and doing different things and different ministries, making connections, having gospel conversations with different people. Wednesday night was an opportunity for our church to go out and as a youth group and just kind of we had dinner together, went into a park and different things. And on the way out to dinner, got a gentleman that was homeless, said wanted some help, and got to learn his name and pray for him there. But it was real quick, and then one of the things that I struggled with was I didn't really get to talk to him. So on Friday, I went out, and I got to connect, or I went looking for him, and never found him, but I found four other people with the time of being able to just pour into them, and I say pour into them. I didn't pour anything into them. God did. It just went out there and being available, and they didn't know I was out there being available, and just being available to not only say, hey, sir, can you help me with this or that? And I'm like, hey, well, let's talk first. What's your name? Why are you here? What's going on? How can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? And that was so much fun. I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, being in the world. Oh, no, nowhere are we supposed to come in our holy huddles. our holy huddles, just like good fruit. Good fruit, what's inside a fruit? Well, you got to eat it and you got to spit it out sometimes. What is it? Seeds. We're out to be plowing, to be cultivating, and to be spreading seeds, to go out there and share Christ. I mean, we can meet in need. We can throw a dollar out a window. We can drop off a sandwich or something. But what the world needs is that, but with love and with the gospel. And just telling them that, hey, it's not about what I'm doing for you. Let me tell you about what Jesus has done for me and what he wants to do for you. And let me pray for you in the midst of that. We are not to be taken out of the world, but going in the world in the strength of Christ. And the purpose of this here is to equip us to go and go fishing. Where to go fishing? To be fishers of men. We see Jesus told his disciples, follow me, follow me, follow me. And what does Jesus do? He leads us to go and share the gospels. Again, to go and that's enough of that for the moment. But bad fruit, good fruit. So what do we do with this? That was just kind of an explanation there, and you're going to be okay. But what do we see? First, we see that there are and will be false teachers. There will be, not just at this time, it wasn't just 2,000 years ago when this was written, there are and there will be false teachers. There, and since the beginning of time, we even see in the Old Testament where there are false prophets and there are false teachers. Let's look at 2 Peter. We're going to look at 2 Peter. We've got a few verses that we're going to look at here. And so 2 Peter, I'm saying that again for myself to remind me where I'm going. 2 Peter, and we're going to be in verses 2. We're going to start, and we're going to read 1 through 3. And then we're going to skip down to 10 through 15, and we're going to look at 17. Now, all I'm skipping in there is examples of the points that we're going to be reading in the other scriptures. I encourage you to read them, but I'm not skipping anything for skipping's sake. But again, it's just examples that that Peter is writing about that supports his points that we're going to look at. But 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 first, it says, Peter warns us, again, what Christ has warned us. I imagine Peter remembers this, and the Holy Spirit is inspiring him to write this to the dispersed church across the world. But it says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, and who will secretly introduce, they will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And then it says, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And again, just some great examples. He talks about Noah. He talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. He talks about Lot. And so, again, he's just examples of what we're talking about there. And then in verse 10, and it says, especially those who indulge the flesh in corrupt desires and despise authority. And I'm reading through 15. Daring, listen to this description of them, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties, whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring in reviling judgment against them before the Lord, but these like unreasoning animals, listen to that, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destructive of those creatures also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of wrongdoing. They count it as pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you, having eyes full of adultery and never cease from sins, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. And then he gives another a few examples of Balaam. And then in verse 17, these are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. There's a lot in there. So again, the context of all of this is about the prophetic word delivered through men in Scripture by the Holy Spirit. But then Peter says, hey, watch out for these folks. I mean, look at these descriptions in verse 1, destructive heresies. 10, part of 10, it says, bold, arrogant people. How can this be true amongst religious people? How can we totally follow these types of people? These are people that are very charismatic. These are people that come in, they feel like the right thing. The other day, again, I was out sharing with some people. Met a lady named Donna. Got to pray for her. A lot of these people on the streets, they are in need. They're not bad people. There are people that maybe they've made bad decisions or life circumstances have never launched them right or whatever. But she's out there because of bipolarism and schizophrenic and things that are beyond her control. And so it's landed her there. But I gave her a bill. And again, not trying to glorify that. But hey, if you're going to pray with somebody and you're going to ask them their story and you're going to spend time with them and they're in need. Scripture says, hey, it's a bad thing if we go and say, go and be with God and may it be well with you, and we don't do anything for him. That's a sin. It's in Scripture. I'll show it to you. So I gave her something, and she gave me, and as I was leaving, she gave me a bill that was the same. And it was a $20 bill. And she gave me back a $20 bill, and I'm like, no, I don't, I just wanted to pray with you. She said, no, it's not real. And it was like a counterfeit $20 bill. And it looked like the real deal. It even felt like it a little bit. Even had all those little 20s on the back. Last night I was showing my kids, and they said, that's illegal to have, Dad. I'm like, you know, I'm not trying to be illegal. She said, give it to me, and every time you look at this, you can think about me and pray for me. But when you look at it from afar, it kind of looks real. But when you look closer, you see, it's not real. It was totally different. And even the number, some of the letters were backwards, like a mirror image, even kind of looked like Russian. I know some of y'all watch, don't even get on that. Don't even. But these are bold, arrogant people. They slander and they do it for their own pleasure. They abandon the straight path, and there are springs without water. They are myths. So what are that? Is they bring something that looks like the real thing, but they're not the real thing, and they leave the people deceived. How can people get so deceived? That's the next point. Many will follow them. In verse 2 of what we just read, it says, many will follow them. Follow their sensuality is what we just read, but many will follow. Many will follow. And again, these are people that are well-spoken. They are very charismatic. And often they are attractive people, the people that folks want to be like, that they want to follow. But and they give truth again, wrapped in a lie. They have special revelation. They give special revelation that's often above the word of God. They can be prideful, self-promotional, and men follow them instead of Christ. Oh, they're swayed by these people. Oh, why is that? I believe it is because so many, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll tell you in just a minute. Keep your spot here, but I'm just going to, or if you want to follow me, I'm going to read 2 Timothy. I'm going to get there a whole lot quicker than you might because I bookmarked it. If not, you might beat me. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Second Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Paul writes, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But listen to this, but wanting to have their ears what, church? Tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. So it's not just the false prophet's fault. I mean, there is his fault. He's just as guilty. But sometimes we don't want to hear the word of God. We're looking at something where somebody can get up and say something. And you're like, you know, hey, I like this guy. This guy makes me feel good. I can do these things all week long. And when I come in here, he tells me that I'm okay. Friend, I'm going to tell you that it's okay too, but it's sin. It's sin, and that we, when we come to the place and we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we may, and Scripture says when we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, that confession is just not verbal. It is a life commitment to where we walk with Him, and when we stumble, we confess and we repent. So there must be faith, but there must be repentance also. But some people, they get to that place where they don't want to hear it. I like this guy, I like this pastor, I like this teacher, because they tell me what I want to hear. We do know in many churches across the United States too, there are people who would call themselves prophets. There is the spiritual gift of prophecy. It is the thing. It is real. It is active. It is not active here. It is welcomed here because it is a spiritual gift. And there is also, as we read in Scripture, there is the gift of tongues. And their tongues should not happen publicly without interpretation. But there are those that are being practiced where people will speak things, and often those things are false. Part of the elder's job, and we find in Scripture, which the elder, bishop, pastor, part of the pastor's job and the elders and the church is whenever somebody speaks in utterance, and you can read these things in Scripture, read 1 Corinthians 13, read 12, 13, and 14, read all those things, that these spiritual gifts are supposed to edify the church, and the pastor and the elders of the church are supposed to say, when somebody speaks something that is true, that aligns with the word of God, they say amen to. And if something happens that is not true of the word of God, we say that does not align with Scripture, and I have to ask you to be quiet at this time. It's a real thing. Is a real thing. And friend, it is welcomed here regardless of whatever denomination that we choose, because it is in the Word of God. But if it does, should it ever be practiced here, it will be done accurately according to the Word of God. We got to be a people that aren't coming in just to simply get our ears tickled so we can live the way we want to live and feel good about ourselves, that we've been baptized and whatever, we have attended church today, and I can't wait to go and to the bars open up at whatever time to do what I want to do. And I am thankful that I am in Christ. That is not true. You are not if you're getting your ears tickled and not living for Him. Oh, we see that in Scripture. Those that will misguide and mislead, and those people who want to be misled. We see in verse 2, at the end of verse 2 there, back in 2 Peter, where it says, the truth is slandered or maligned is what it says. Again, these are half-truths. These are half-truths, and where they come and it sounds good, it sounds convincing, and then we buy into it. Why? Because we don't do these things. What do we do? What is the next part? Number 4, Earl. What do we do about this? Well, we find some things in 1 John, not too far away, just a couple pages, where John's talking about this now. In 1 John 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. And note that that's a little s. Everything that would come, because we, if you don't know it, friends, there is a spiritual realm with the Holy Spirit and God, and things are good. There's angels, and He's coming back for us one day to take us into the kingdom of heaven. But there is also, there is the devil and his demons that is out warring against God's people and God's purposes. And if nothing else, if he can throw us off track, he brings pain to God's heart. And he is out to do those things. And then there are these people that are false prophets, and those people who are false Christians that are looking to be their ears tickled, that are out being more productive often than the church can be. And so truth is being maligned. What do we do? Did I ever read that? No, every spirit. That was so spirit. The motivation of man, the motivation of Satan, and the enemy, And then, of course, the Holy Spirit. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. And not talking about the one that is at the end times, but of those who would be against Christ, of which you have heard that it is coming and now is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Well, John tells us here to test every spirit. Test every spirit, everything that comes across, even the things that come from my lips, you need to test them according to what is the Holy Spirit that has been inspired and given us to the Word of God. If there is ever anything that I say God has told me, friends, I believe that God still speaks today. I believe that God speaks through dreams. I believe that God speaks through prophetic utterances. I believe that because I find it in the Word of God. But when people speak these things, and whenever any speaker that you listen to on the radio, that you watch on TV, that you YouTube, quotes that you find through Twitter or whatever, it needs to be compared to the Word of God, because nothing that would be given in any other prophetic special revelation way will never, never be of God and be outside of this Word. Never. Never. And I know I bust your chops all the time, and I don't mean to, but friend, there is nothing greater than you can do for your spiritual journey and to following God than to read the Word of God. There's nothing greater other than prayer. And you, man, you put those things in place, you put prayer with all your heart, not just God is good, God is, I mean, that works, like if you're three, but oh God. And then you read the Word and oh God, there's nothing greater. A friend, you've shown up here on every Sunday. That's a good thing. You should. Scripture says you should. But you got to get in the Word. You got to get in the Word, because there's some time that you may come across something and say, hey, that sounds really good. I like what that guy's saying. I like what that person is saying. I like that Twitter post. I like what this person shared on Facebook. And look at that person. They got a million followers. So it must be good. I like what they're saying. And next thing you know, you find yourself deceived. Why? Because you don't know the Word of God. When you go and you hear that and you're like, man, that sounds good. That makes me feel good. But you're like, huh, kind of like that 20. You look down and it should say Jackson. Isn't that right, Jackson, on a 20? Right. But the one that she gave me says Compton. And then on the back, it says, don't ask. I mean, literally, it says, I'll bring it. If nobody calls the police, I'm carrying around counterfeit money. but it says, like, don't ask city or something like that. Did I show it to you? I didn't show it to you. It's like totally wrong. Totally wrong. But when we look closer, and friends, there are things that I've come prepared to talk to you that I've heard from other pastors or something. I thought, man, that's a great example. That's a great illustration. That's awesome. And I'm like, man, I can't wait to share that. And I'm like, man, I'm going to share that. And I get my concordance out, and I'm looking for the Word of God. And I'm like, whoa, that ain't right at all. I can't share that. Oh, we got to be that kind of people, that we're so familiar with the Word and we know how to use the Word. If you don't know how to use the Word, I'd love to teach you. And Jane could teach you. Women, you bring your concordances and have a concordance party. Men, let's get together and have a concordance. I can teach you to find anything you need to find in Scripture. It may take you a while. Friend, we can get on BibleHub.com. There are some Christians, and technology, there is some good things there. There's BibleStudyTools.com that has a concordance. There is Bible Gateway. I'm not familiar with that one quite as much. I think Earl is familiar with that one. Don't you use Bible Gateway? There's eSword. There is Bible Hub. That's my favorite. That just opens up all kinds of things. There is no excuse, and I'm not trying to beat you up. I tell you what, if you truly, in your heart, you want to follow God with all that you are, open up the Word. Study the Word of God. Friend, it will not disappoint you. It won't. It won't disappoint you at all. Test the Spirit. If it needs to point to Christ, not in word and actions. And then finally, trust God in you. Verse 4. What did verse 4 say? It says, you are from God, little children. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to people who have come to the place where they believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, and they've repented of their sins, and that confession and that repentance is ongoing, and we live for Christ and seek Christ Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way through even Saturday night. It's not just a Sunday deal. He's talking to those folks who are truly saved. You are from God, little children. Don't be offended by that. He's old at this time. Old people can call us little children. Somebody just thought you're old too, Pastor. And, but he says, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. One thing that I pray for, try to pray for every day, is, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the fruits of your Spirit purge me of the deeds of my flesh. And Lord, fill me with your wisdom, with your knowledge, with your discernment. And where did I get Proverbs? I got those from Proverbs. Read Proverbs. Read one every day. It'll bless you. And it tells you to pray for those things, to ask for those things, and I do so. And when you're in the Word of God and you're praying, Lord, show me your truth. Lord, help me not be deceived. Lord, lead me and guide me. He will not let you be deceived. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit we find in John 16, his job, one of his jobs is to be an advocate for you, to guide you, to convict you of sin. And I tell you, whenever something isn't right and you're in tune with God through prayer, through the Holy Spirit that is inside you and through his word, when that false teaching comes that is going to be covered in chocolate, that's going to be covered in things that are good, that are going to sound really exciting, you're like, wait, that sounds good, but it's just, I don't know. Something ain't right with it. The Holy Spirit's there. And you're like, let me check that out. And you go and you start getting your concordance out, and you get on BibleHub.com or whatever, and you do the concordance. The verse says this. Or just Google it. Find some cool stuff, Google it, but be careful, especially be careful. And you're like, oh, Jeremiah says this. Man, that is not true. That is not true, and you reject it. That is not rejected. That's what we should do. So Christ gives us a warning today that we should heed. And I leave you with this big idea. Keep your focus on Jesus Christ. And be diligent to study the scriptures, lest you be deceived. Keep your focus on Jesus Christ. Oh, that's being in the Word. That's praying. That's confession. It's also fellowship. Oh man, we listen to the testimonies of other people, and we can say, hey man, where have you been in the Word today? And let me tell you what I found in John. Isn't this great? And you're like, man, I never thought about it quite like that. That's an element that we need to add here. And that's the beauty of the roundtable service, is that we can start to open up some things and say, man, let me tell you about this verse that I came across. We need each other. We need each other. We're not meant to worship and celebrate and live in isolation. But keep your focus on Jesus Christ and be diligent to study the scriptures, lest you be deceived. Now, keeping your focus on Jesus Christ, when you study the scriptures, you're living them. You're actually living them. It's not a knowledge thing. It's Lord, I'm holding on to your truth. There's so much more I want to say in that, but our time has definitely come and gone. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for being a good God that warns us about potential dangers for your people. Father, may we not be taken captive by false teachers and false prophets. Father, we know it can happen, Lord. We even read in 2 Peter, if we were to read further, that these were people that appear to have known you at one time but have walked away from you. Father, may that not be true of us. I pray, Lord, for us to know your word. And Lord, may your Spirit fill us and purge us of the deeds of our flesh, so that we may be one with you and that we may be one with one another. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.